Yep.
Welcome everybody to the last session of the first day of our professional development week for this year. And now we are going to hear the presentation by our outreach librarian and subject selector for Latino studies, Aira Martinez from IRIS.
Thank you. So what we can do today is just ask me questions as we go along. I don't want to do everything and then have question and answer at the end. So stop me at any time during any of these slides, okay? Three semesters ago, I started teaching a class called LSP 101, Research Strategies in Latino Studies. And I've learned a lot, mostly from the students, rather than the faculty or the curriculum or what we do as librarians or anything like that. So the focus of my talk really is these lessons for librarians from the students themselves and what that means for us and what we can do to serve them better, especially through instruction for credit. So a little bit of background about the course. Even though it's a one credit course, we actually do a lot of work. And the students have said so, but don't complain either. It's a complete elective. It's offered under the LSP program, but it's not required by LSP students. LSP is not a major, it's only a concentration. So it's not required of anyone, so it's completely open to all undergraduate students. It's graded SU, and so I don't give a lot of assignments during the semester for a grade, they're more for practice. And the major, I'll get to the major assignment in a second. So what we're doing during the spring semester is meeting once a week for 50 minutes. And the reason it's offered in the spring, at the time that it's offered, is because we're working with the other LSP courses. So because it's offered under LSP, the other faculty have said, well, I always offer my class at this time, and I always offer my class at this time, and they don't want LSP classes competing with each other. So the only time that's available is Wednesday mornings at 10:10 a.m. Because I don't have a subject master's degree, it was also required that I include guest lecturers who have the credentials so that the class could be worthy or whatever. I don't know. But, well, it was a problem that I didn't have a subject master's degree. So they said as long as I include librarians or librarians with a title librarian who have subject expertise, or who have a subject master's degree, that would be fine. So I have included Fred Muratori, Angela Horn, Petrina Jackson, Cornelia Tancheva. Many of them have been guest lecturers at one time or another during the class. See. Keep in mind then, for a later slide, that 50 minutes for 14 weeks translates into almost 12 hours of BI. Bibliographic instruction kind of thing. So it's 11.67 hours. So what happened was when I was hired to do selection for Latino Studies, the Latino Studies faculty immediately asked if I would join their advisory board. And so I said, sure. So I started going to their faculty meetings and their advisory board meetings. Their advisory board consists of two undergraduates and one graduate student, plus all the faculty who teach in Latino Studies. And during a faculty meeting one time, they were sitting around talking about the quality of the papers they had been receiving. And I was listening and sitting there and taking notes, and one of them looked at me and said, can you teach a course item? And I said, sure. So they rallied around that, and we put together this course primarily to help them begin the research process and end the research process. So they were primarily concerned with students learning how to find sources, good sources, and then citing them properly. So what we basically decided is that I would help them do everything related to research except the reading and the writing part. Okay. So therefore I have complete 100% support from all the faculty at Latino Studies. Another thing to keep in mind is that because Latino Studies is not a major, the faculty in Latino Studies are actually from other disciplines. So we're talking about English faculty, history faculty, political science faculty, happen to teach a course related to Latino studies. So they weren't saying that it was LSP students who needed this. They were saying that it was all students who needed this, okay? So in the spring of 2004, we offered the class. Two students enrolled, and then I said, I can't teach a class to two students, and so I canceled the course. And that's what happened. What I learned, because I learned something new every year, is that there's this rather generous drop add period. So after I canceled the class based on those two students, in the following weeks, I got like four more people saying they wanted to add the class, and I'd already canceled it. And so it was really hard, but I could have ended up with six students in that first class, probably. And so lesson learned, and we moved down to spring of 2005. And what happened in the spring of 2005 is that at one point, I think I had 11 students enrolled, but originally 9 signed up, and then there was a flurry of drop ads in the first 2 or 3 weeks. So I had 7, then 11, then 8, and I ended up with was 5 students. It was okay because they were good five good students, and 4 of them were seniors, and 1 was a junior. So that was very interesting to me. This past year, I think, this past semester was very successful. We started off with 13 students, lots of drop ads, and I ended up with 22. Near perfect attendance, you know, they always came to class, they were always engaged. This past semester, what I've learned from these 5 and these 22 students has been what I'm going to base the rest of my talk on, really. So of these 22 students, I wanted to point out that 6 were freshmen, 7 were sophomores, 2 were juniors, and 6 were seniors. So that was a very good mix of undergraduates. The high end, mostly sophomores, but a good mix on both ends of freshmen and seniors at 6 each. Forgot to mention something really quickly about that 1-credit course. I wanted to point out that a lot of students take 1-credit courses. In fact, I have heard from academic advisors that there aren't enough 1-credit courses. So when students are out there shopping around for a 1-credit course, they're basically left between building theater sets or something else. And so I don't know if it's because students drop below a certain level or as seniors they rather take 3 1-credit courses than 1 3-credit course or something like that. But academic advisors in arts and sciences have told me that if we offered more sections of these, we'd probably get more takers. Okay? Remember, when I originally offered my class, it was capped at 15. So this semester, we added 7 more students than should have been in the class. Nancy?
Was it hard to teach given the incredible range of students from freshmen to seniors? Is this a good time to ask about this?
Mm-hmm.
From
the evaluations, I've learned that everyone pretty much needed the same information. The seniors didn't know any more than the freshmen did when it came to certain things. They may have known their way around the gateway a little bit more, but they certainly, the level at which I taught, everyone was learning something. And everyone was learning something new from what I could tell. So it was not a challenge to try and figure out at which level to teach, except for maybe, I would say, 1 or 2 students. But they just came to office hours. Okay. So again, like I said, what we focused on was the beginning and the end of research. Because it's offered under LSP and it's, you know, Research Studies into Latino Studies, what I tell them is to choose a topic related to Latino studies in any area they want to study. Education, political science, history, someone's biography, whatever they want to do. It's completely open to them. And then what we do for the first few weeks is we work on narrowing that topic. And what I do is I choose a topic and use that throughout the semester. And the topic that I've always used, because I've actually seen it written about a lot here at Cornell when students come to me, is I do this images of Latinos in film and television. So I start off with that broad category. We're going to look at the history of Latinos in film and television, images of Latinos in film and television, and so on. And what I eventually do is narrow it down to stereotypes or negative images of Latinos in film and film only. So we work through that process of narrowing down a topic. From there, we work on the mechanics and the vocabulary of resource discovery first. So we really introduce them to the catalog, Library of Congress, subject headings, things like that. And that usually requires one or two full classes to really get them used to the catalog and what librarian terms mean and things like that. Yes?
You said that there was a lot of bad dropping.
Yeah.
So say for the first 3 weeks, students missed the class and then decided to tip later. How did you deal with the topics that you cover in
huge
the first
challenge.
3 weeks? Like, did you feel like you were constantly repeating
yes.
as in the fourth or fifth class?
That's the biggest challenge. That is the biggest challenge because I think they can add up until like the third week of February or something like that. And so that is a very big challenge. And what happened was, is that that's where most of my time is taken up, is meeting with the students outside the class. So if they added really late, I did meet with them individually outside of class.
Like within the class.
I would repeat within the class, but then I'd also meet with them individually to bring them up to speed. Yeah. But trust me, we went over the catalog for 5 weeks, you know, while I was introducing other terms. I kept saying, remember, remember, remember. So, yeah. What do I have here on my notes? Everything except the reading and the writing, topic, mechanic. Okay, then we went to go immediately into hands-on stuff. So once they get the vocabulary down and knowing Library of Congress and call numbers and all that other stuff, we immediately start doing hands-on work. And so I give them practical examples and have them use their topics to do searches in the catalog. We do the catalog for about 3 weeks and then move into databases. So as you can see in your handout, the syllabus I handed out to you, we start doing different kinds of databases. We start with interdisciplinary ones and then go to specific disciplines. Always, always, always having hands-on assignments for in-class. We don't. They don't really narrow their topic till about spring break. And so what I'm doing is I'm basically teaching them the difference between like thesauruses, the difference between searching for Latinos and Hispanic American, the difference between searching for film and cinema, things like that. So it's formulating searches. It's having to understand how to do research in a library, in an academic library environment. Yes.
Are you teaching a hands-on lab?
Yes, I am teaching in the URIS electronic classroom. Yes, everybody has a computer. We're in the electronic classroom in URIS. At around spring break, or right before spring break, I do an entire session on RefWorks. So one entire class is just on how to set up an account and get citations into RefWorks, edit them in RefWorks, build a bibliography, and that's when they get excited because they realize that their final assignment, which is an annotated bibliography, is 90% done for them because they can just click buttons. And I have the seniors moan and groan because if only I had known this 3 years ago. And all the, you know, it's very illuminating to teach RefWorks and how to get things into a good citation manager. The in-class searching assignments are key. This is what the students like and this is what they want to do. So when I teach Eric, or when I teach PsycINFO, or when I teach the Chicano database, they want to have exercises in front of them to do afterwards. So the format of the class was usually 10:10 to 10:35, I would teach, and then from 10:35 to 11, they would do, and ask, and talk, and usually work in pairs and things like that, and then turn in the assignments to make sure that they were getting it. They catch on to databases very quickly. They do not catch on to the catalog very easily at all. I have a pre-test and a post-test, and I'm embarrassed to show them to you, you know, the results, because it's either an admission of my failure as a teacher, or the catalog is just terribly confusing to students. Okay? Any questions about that? So from here, I'm thinking, how can these things that we know be taken to another level? How can we learn from this class as librarians as to what else we can do with one credit classes? And what I'm finding is that, again, from faculty and from the students themselves, these research strategies are needed. So, the course evaluations ask the question, what do you feel you gained most from this course? And I find it interesting that almost all of the responses have nothing to do with Latino studies. Nothing. They're all about how they can apply what they've learned to all of their courses and how they're internally grateful for it. So I can now find information on any subject. I applied what I learned immediately to my research this semester. I learned how to actually do research. And my questions here is, did they not know how to do research before? You know? So this kind of concerns me. How do we address that? How can we address that through perhaps more of these one credit courses? The other things that they mentioned a lot, and these are again our combination of last year's and this year's evaluation forms, is a lot of them mentioned that they're more confident now when they approach a research paper, when they get a research assignment. A lot of them say, this is really going to make me more self-reliant. I'm not going to have to go to my professors or to librarians as often. However, they were more comfortable talking to reference librarians and more comfortable now using libraries. So these aren't things that really that I took from individual papers as much as this, these were common themes that were coming back from all of them. Let's see. So faculty say they need it, students say they need it, and the disconnect here, I'm thinking, is that there's not really a time when they learn how to do research. They don't really learn how to do this level of research in high school, and yet when they get to Cornell, they're expected to know how to do it as freshmen. And so I'm finding that there's a huge disconnect between, you know, leaving high school and starting college in terms of their research levels. The other thing is that, yes, while it's important that we allow any undergraduate to take these kinds of courses, the students are even saying you need to target the freshmen, which is not a big surprise. But when they were asked, would you recommend this course to a friend, this is overwhelming from everyone. There was not one negative response to this question. Everyone said yes, especially freshmen, mandatory for first-year students, requirement for freshmen, wish I had known about it earlier, I wish I had taken this course as a freshman. I would have written much better papers. So I'm not getting any responses from the freshmen that are saying, I'm so glad I took this course now, you know? They don't know yet, I don't think. But the juniors and seniors, and one of the, a telling remark I had in class, it was like the third class where we really dug into, I think, the catalog. One of my seniors, I'll call her Mary, came up to me afterwards and said, I just learned more in this 50-minute session than I have in my previous 3.5 years here at Cornell about how to do research. And the following week, she brought two more of her friends who added the course, who were also, by the way, seniors. And then after that session, the other senior who she brought, Carla, said, if I had known about this, my papers would have been much better, you know, beforehand. So target the freshmen. People are also, the students actually, are very concerned as to why this course is being offered under LSP. They don't understand it. And so I got this very interesting comment from one senior who said, you should consider adding another course called Research Strategies for the Cornell student. Most students wouldn't realize the benefits of this course and overlook it, if only because it is offered through the Latino Studies program. On a more serious note, other than this is a really good course, I think it should be put out there more. I think more students should take this course. I have never put ever. This is actually very interesting. About in the fourth or fifth class, as we were talking about research and just a different number of different issues, one of the students rather seriously asked me, why is this course offered under LSP? Is it because they think Latino students are stupid? And I was immediately taken aback and said, Absolutely not. No, 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 no. And I told them about the commitment of their faculty and the support that they have, and that if history faculty had said, can you offer a history 101 class, I would have offered it under history. And I had to explain that the only reason it's offered under LSP is because LSP is the only department that has said, we're going to do this. And so they were very concerned about that, concerned about whether Cornell at large thinks that they need extra help doing research. And I wonder if other students looking for one credit courses see that LSP and think, not for me, if only because it's offered under LSP. Yes?
Did most of the students find out about this course because they were looking under LSP offered courses and it was something that's also advertised by the department?
Highly marketed by the department.
Yeah.
And the majority of my students, if they're not LSP concentrators, they're concentrators or majors in some discipline that requires multi-ethnic or multi-study classes, and LSP 101 fits that requirement. So Asian American study students, and I think American Indian program students, if they're concentrating, say, you have to take one or two other classes from these other area studies. And LSP counts as one of them for some of those majors. So the majority of my students, I would say, well, actually not the majority, I would say about half come from LSP. Marketing, referral, things like that. The other half find it on their own. In the last two semesters, I've gotten three pre-professional students who are going on to law school and said that they took this class because they're going on to law school and they need to know how to do better research. So the fact that they're learning about Latino studies is a bonus, but at least they're learning how to do the research. So they need, the students, I think, want to have this practice. This is key, is that they're not just told about it or anything, but they actually get sustained and regular guidance and practice in doing research. So the fact that it's drawn out over 14 weeks, they're showing up to class, they like the hands-on assignments, and it's reinforcing what they're learning, and they're applying it to actual papers that they're writing during the semester. So there was one student who said, well, I'm taking a Latin American studies course. It's not really Latino studies. Is that okay? I said, of course. So the bibliography they handed in was about something related to Latin American studies, but that was okay with me. So the numerous databases that we visited, the instructor always made sure we understood the task at hand, very helpful. So the fact that there's someone there making sure they're getting it was also very helpful to them. Okay? Questions about that? Yes?
The hands-on assignments, did students always work on their own topics, or did you start with some prepackaged topics you knew would work and get them some results?
In class, they hardly ever worked on their own topics. So, if they were doing something on education, but we were learning psych info that day, the hands-on assignments would be related to Latinos and psychology. Or Latinos and whatever. So the lessons that I gave them each day were about what we were learning. Find a radio transcript because we were learning LexisNexis. Find something else, something about this author because we were learning MLA. So things like that. But I always went back and showed them how my bibliography was progressing. So that fake topic of negative images of Latinos in film, I would build my bibliography as we went through class, and I would show them. Based on last week's class, I would have found three more sources. Now my bibliography is up to 8. Now my bibliography is up to 11. So that they could see how every time they were learning a new database, they might be able to find information for their bibliography and build it as they go, rather than wait at the very last minute. Okay? Well, it was a lot of work for me, though. I had to do everything in proper citation format. Doing U.S. Census data tables is really hard to get into proper APA citation format. Anyway, students want to be challenged, but at a convenient time. So the class said, the question was, what detracted most from this course? And almost everyone said 10-10 is still too early. Yes. Yeah, I know. I told them at the beginning of the semester, I start at 10-10, I lecture till 11. Well, people still weren't coming until 10:20, 10:25. And one of the things I learned from that is don't make important announcements at the beginning of the class. Make them at the end. Because I would make these very important announcements and then people would wander in at 10:20, 10:25 and I wouldn't realize it, and then I would get assignments where they didn't follow directions at all. So there's nothing I can do about the time. That's when LSP says it doesn't conflict with anything else. However, there were still a lot of them that said we didn't have enough time. Per class, per semester, I don't know. But this response of not enough time came from just more than one student. And the other people were saying that it's not serious enough. The fact that it's only graded SU made it too easy to miss class and do other things, like sleep or work on another homework assignment. It wasn't uncommon for me to get emails about 10 minutes before class saying, not coming to class, I've got a major paper due at noon, I need the time to work on it. So I may have made a mistake by saying, you know, I won't look at attendance that closely, but I did tell them that they would have to come to class to get the information they needed to do a proper final assignment. And that definitely showed, because the students who did not come to class regularly, and there was only a handful of them, turned in the worst final bibliographies. So it showed.
Did you give any U's?
I gave one U, yes. Everything was just lifted and pasted. So it was not in proper format and it was plagiarized. So they basically just copied and pasted from a database. And so it was a student who had different issues, but the majority of them, all of them except him, definitely tried to put things in proper citation format and annotated all of their citations. There were a few who didn't quite make the required 20, but if it was 18, it was okay. So my final thoughts on all of this is that for us, for professional development for all of us, and not just for me and not just for Latino studies students, is that we could perhaps explore more options for credit courses at the undergraduate level. Academic advisors are saying that they're needed. Students are saying that they're willing to take one credit courses, and students are definitely giving us the message that this kind of information is needed. Outreach to the departments is key. It was very easy for me, again, because they asked me to do it. It wasn't like I walked in there and tried to sell this idea to them. But if we, I mean, because they represent all of these other disciplines in history and English and political science, the information that we have from these students and from these faculty might open some doors for us to make it possible to offer some other sections of this course. We might also consider cross-listing it. I think if it was offered as LSP, Asian American Studies, American Indian Program, blah, 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 101, we might get more takers and have more than just one section of this. I was thinking about an open forum at the PSEC Instruction Committee to talk about one credit courses and the viability. Do we give up something? Do we go after the freshman writing program? You know, something, I don't know, just other people's thoughts on offering one credit courses at the undergraduate level. And because I feel like I really do have a lot of good information from these students, and they're gonna be around because I had 6 freshmen, a couple of sophomores and juniors, you know, if we could go back and ask them later, do some kind of a study where we bring them in and people who didn't take the course, this could be a good research opportunity, but I would definitely need some help on how to do that. So it's welcome if you're interested. And that's it. So it only took half an hour. So you can have more questions.
Yes. I just want to mention your idea about an instruction committee forum is actually happening tomorrow afternoon in some respects. Leah submitted her proposal on behalf of the instruction committee and the whole instruction construction committee.
Right.
Part of it is tomorrow afternoon, right here, is that right?
Yeah.
At 1:30?
Yeah, so tomorrow's where we'll talking. We'll be showing the difference between a graduate one credit course, a professional school one credit course from the law school, my undergraduate course, and then Deb Blasdean, who teaches something completely different, you know, through extension, I think I just said. So we were going to talk about how those were developed and the challenges and the successes and things like that. Yeah.
And lots of time for discussion.
Exactly.
And block and find them.
Thank you. I'll stick around. No, no, no. Some more questions, okay?
it's not really a question, it's just a comment, I don't know, or maybe several comments. That's some of the things that really struck me. But one that really, really struck me was the idea that there wasn't enough time. Because you think what we usually are able to get that. Freshman writing seminar.
The other comments I got were, I can still call you, right, if I need help, you know, just because the class is over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The other one, I saw a lot of students, because it's difficult for librarians to have office hours, and, you know, so office hours had to be by appointment only, I got a lot of students. I mean, I had to tell them what time was on the desk, mm-hmm. and those were my office hours, because they knew they could find me at that time. So I had a lot of my students come and see me during my desk hours, either on Saturday or Sunday, or for the two-hour time shift. But they follow up a lot, so there's never enough time. 12 hours of bibliographic instruction, and there still wasn't enough time, they said. Yeah. There wasn't enough time for me. There were key things that I didn't teach them enough of. We didn't even touch Web of Science, you know, mm-hmm. which I felt horribly about that. I think that's very important to teach. And plus, like I said, the pre-test and the post-test. It's like they learned nothing about the catalog. Now I don't know, and we covered it for 3 weeks solid at the beginning, and then touched on it throughout. So I don't know what it is that I'm not getting through to them about the catalog. Mm-hmm.
Can you sort of generalize about what
they're missing? Yeah, we went over and over and over again that Library of Congress requires Hispanic American as the subject heading. So I told them that if they wanted to find books about Latinos, the best way to search that is Hispanic American. Truncated, because there's also Hispanic Americans as a phrase. I pounded that into them. That they can do a keyword search for Latinos and education, but they weren't gonna get as much if they searched Hispanic American and education. That their results would be just huge. So that the pretest has a question about how would you go about looking for books about, in the catalog, about Latinos? And I had four choices, Latinos, Hispanic Americans, whatever. And then the post-test, same question, and they all got it wrong, even at the end. So we also applied that to the databases. You know, we would go to MLA, we would go to Eric, and I would say, you can do a search for Latinos, but that's a keyword. The subject word, and I would show them the thesaurus, and I would show them how to find the subject terms, and I would say they're using Hispanic American. They didn't get it. They want to search for Latinos.
Yeah, so it was this kind of the same issue then in the databases.
Kind of, yeah. But the databases are a little bit more forgiving. Yes. I mean, the question on the pre and post test was about the catalog.
Because of more extensive abstracts.
Exactly. So it concerns me that when they go to search the catalog, they're still not getting it about subject terms, about mm-hmm. subject headings. And 3 weeks of subject heading vocabulary and the catalog. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you were talking to some of the upperclassmen and you asked them what they had been using before, or how they had been doing their research, what response were you getting from them?
The internet. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Three of my freshmen who took the class said that the reason they were taking it was because they got horrible grades their first semester as freshmen, and that their instructors told them, you need to do something to improve your research skills. So it's not that they specifically told them to take LSP 101, it's that they came to the class saying, I got horrible grades on my papers. So I think, and the seniors, I'm sorry, there's a lot going on in the life of a senior, especially towards the end of a semester. But I still got some annotated bibliographies where about half of the citations were internet resources. Properly cited, but they were not from databases or from the catalog.
Keywords,
yes. Beth.
Were the pre and post tests mostly focused on the catalog?
It's the same test, yes, the same exact test. I don't change it at all.
But it was.
It's no. It's broad. There's questions. Oh my god. I think I brought one with me. Maybe I did it. It basically asks them questions about everything that we're covering in the class. Let me see, I didn't save it here. No, I thought I had saved a copy here to show you, but I was really embarrassed. There's questions about proper citation format. I give them an APA citation, and I ask them, what is this a citation for? Journal article, book, chapter in book, whatever. None of them got it right.
And that was multiple choice.
Post-test. Pre, the same exam. It's the same test.
Oh, okay.
They take it the first day of class and the last day of class. So on the first day of class, they all got the citation wrong. It was for a chapter in a book. All of them got it wrong. At the end of the class, they got it right. I mean, most of them did.
Did you go over it with them in the second class after they got it right?
No.
Okay, so they didn't see what you corrected.
No. I didn't hand them back their correct test.
Yeah, constructing a pre-test and a post-test is really difficult.
I have a lot to learn. Yeah. There were questions about primary sources, there were questions, you know, versus secondary sources, there were questions about LC classification and subject headings, very general ones, and they were, again, multiple choice. But, I mean, I have one, if anyone would like to see it, and then give me feedback on whether it's good or bad, because I think it's cool, now that I've done it 2 years in a row. But last year's group, the five, did much better on the post-test than this group did. This group, I think, like I said, they were just crazy or something at the end of the semester. But I looked through the first few, and I just put them aside.
I heard of asking general questions is actually, that's what's going to hit them. They're not going to have nicely formulated.
Yeah.
You know, because I find that in my assignments, I try to balance some real specific things. I know we'll get them in and using a specific characteristic of the database.
Right.
But then bounce that off with some general. I won't give you credit unless you tell me what your search strategy is.
Right.
I gotta know what they did.
You know, even if they got it wrong, it's good to know what their thinking process is.
I think some of the ones are good in that sense because they're gonna be hit.
Yeah.
Their boss is gonna say, find everything.
Right. I have three questions at the end of my test. One's a question about how comfortable they are using libraries.
Mm-hmm.
One is about how comfortable, whether or not. They're all about libraries and their comfortableness in approaching for help or finding their way around or stuff like that, and those significantly improved. So at first where they say, I hate libraries, I never go to the library, whatever, by the end of the semester they're all saying, I'm comfortable using libraries, I like libraries, I will go to libraries, that kind of thing. So that's always a nice to see. So. I made them up. Yeah, I just, you know, if I was teaching something in LexisNexis, I would say, find a newspaper article about recent immigration policy changes from the last week, so that they would have to narrow last week, you know, find some keywords, stuff like that. I showed them that they could find news, radio, and news transcripts from radio and TV, so I said, find something where they interviewed someone about the Latino immigration policies, whatever. So I tailored them to a lesson class. And I usually made those up every week as I went along. Yeah.
Two questions, I guess this is the
two.
One, is the freshman writing course required of all freshmen?
Two are required of all freshmen. Two of them are required of all freshmen.
All freshmen have to take Second question. Do you get the impression that faculty assume that the students are getting this in, this library instruction, information literacy, and that freshman writing question? Is possibly the reason why they don't invite them into their own course?
That I don't know, because the Latino Studies faculty who asked me to teach this course don't teach freshman writing seminars. So they were asking me to teach this course based on information or papers they're getting from juniors and seniors. So,
who have
taken freshman writing seminars. Yeah, so I don't, and again, it's only a group of like about 10 faculty, so it's not anywhere near representative of everyone across campus, but those 10 faculty were saying that their upper class, the upperclassmen that they're teaching still don't have the skills they want them to have. And so they're actually recommending their juniors and seniors to take this course. And I also heard that there were numerous students who, I got at least 10 emails at the beginning of the semester asking me if there was another section of the course because they couldn't make 10-10 on Wednesdays. So.
It was too hard.
Yeah, again. Well, I don't know, because they had another class or something like that. Several students asking for an independent study if they couldn't come to the 10-10 Wednesday class.
You know, it's interesting for me to think about this because before I came to Cornell, I was in an environment where they had a one credit requirement for admission as a student institution. I was hired as an adjunct.
Yeah.
And you know, it was just a generic kind of standalone library skills class that wasn't connected to any
right.
You know, subject matter or discipline. And you know, so it was a full semester one credit course. And then coming here and getting involved in the course-related instruction program that was going on here, it seemed to be, you know, better in some respects because it was connected to the content of the course.
Sure.
And of course, at Cornell, they're doing the writing seminars, and you know, it wasn't English 101. Every student had to take the same course. They got to pick the class
right.
that they wanted to take and the subject area they were interested in. And then you know, you had library instruction in many of those classes connected to that subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, it's mostly into the one-shot deal as far as the instruction goes. So anyway, it's just interesting to think about it and to see you know, what direction
right.
they want to go. My predecessor you know, had told me, and I've never had this conversation with people in the writing seminar department, that they weren't interested in making a requirement for that. They, because some of the writing seminars, you know, the students aren't doing research. It's really more close reading,
mm-hmm.
reflective, and writing about personal experiences or what have you. But you know, maybe it's something you still could sell it on.
Well,
so you think that that's a you know, good direction.
One of the directions we could take is not make it a required course for freshmen, but offer it through these cross-listed programs
mm-hmm.
and require mm-hmm. it for anyone who decides to concentrate in one of those areas.
Right.
You know, that way
well,
we could hit maybe.
Requirement, because one of the things, again, I was working as an adjunct at the city school. It was a requirement, but I was working at this neighboring college where students could take it there as an elective
mm-hmm.
and transfer it over. And that would be a better experience for those students who chose to be there.
That's true.
Weren't really
That's true. Yeah. Right. The students who are in this course are there because they want to
yeah.
be. They've chosen the course.
So I like
yeah.
the idea of you know, offering some other sections and seeing how popular
right.
it is. I mean, it might be the kind of thing that you know, over time becomes popular enough to be easier to sell.
I know 10 faculty who would sell it, and I know at least 3 academic advisors who would sell it. Yeah, in arts and sciences.
To think about what Tony was saying, Brigham Young University has a requirement that every student take an intensive writing program, and the physics department has put together an intensive writing program specifically for physics students. It's being it was taught the first time this spring, so I'm very anxious to see how that went. But I worked with an undergraduate class of physics students last year, last summer, and it needs to be tied to subject matter. It needs to be tied to a specific project.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully it would be hands-on and they could work in groups because they learn from each other.
It's encouraged. One of the lessons is that good research shows depth and breadth,
mm-hmm.
so that you use many different kinds of resources and you try to cross-discipline them as well. So you look at several of them are doing stuff about farm workers, migrant farm workers, and so I encourage them to look at it from a sociological perspective, a political perspective, an economic perspective, so that they touch upon several different disciplines and then also find books. Find journal articles, find encyclopedia entries, find things like that, policy decisions, government documents. So it's encouraged, but of course not required. The requirement is that they do about 20 citations and that they annotate them all. That's it. And they get to choose their citation style out of 3. They choose APA, MLA, or Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I'm okay now with AP and MLA. I'm only in trouble if someone chooses Chicago, which no one has. So all of the papers I got this time were AP or MLA, and I think I pretty much got both of those down. So.
I was going to ask if you could plagiarism, copyright, absolutely.
Absolutely. And in fact, that's one of the main reasons my one U was a U, because they just cut and pasted it. And I told them that I'm a librarian and I know how to find out if these annotations came straight from the databases. And I did some checking and I found a couple that were completely listed, and they were strategic. I mean, they put them right in the middle of their bibliographies, but they were indeed listed word for word. And so now what I'm working on over the next 2 weeks is they all sent them to me electronically in Word format. So what I'm doing is changing the color to red and putting my comments in and sending them back to them electronically. So if they plagiarize, they will be told that they plagiarized. Yeah. But yes, I covered it many, many times. Yeah.
So we have an example for your, any other examples in your pre-test and post-test, is there anything else?
No, like I said, the in-class assignments, I encourage them to turn those in for comments. And then at the beginning of the semester, I give them these little provocative readings about how people think college students are becoming less and less skillful at stuff, and I ask them to do reaction papers to that. So there are these interesting little articles about how students are lazy and just finding stuff on the internet and whatever, whatever, and I ask them to send me their reactions on that, which usually provokes some really good responses. So a few reading responses, the in-class assignments, but basically it's just keeping up with their bibliography and turning in the bibliography at the end. Yeah. So the SU is based on the final bibliography. Okay. Now we're done. Thank you very much.
Teaching Library Research Strategies for Credit.